This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled Priorities. On the count of three, everybody say priorities. Here we go. One, two, three. And it is so, vitally important that we put first things first. Matthew 6 and 33 says, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto me. The truth is, if I put God at the top of the list, how many know he'll take care of the rest of my list? And that's what the Bible teaches us. And so we have taught you just from so many different areas. And I'm so excited just about teaching this lesson on today, because this lesson is a lesson that every single person on the planet needs to learn, whether they want to or whether they don't want to. And today's priority or today's topic is the topic of forgiveness. Oh, Lord, here we go, Pastor. You were doing good till you got to that point. And we're going to talk about forgiveness. The unfortunate truth is that there is a lot of disagreement and disunity in our culture. That's just the bottom line. Everybody loves to fight about something. You got it. Just whatever. Just people just love to fight about stuff. And I don't think social media has helped. There's a lot of great things about social media. But years and years and years ago, like my son tells me, I was born in the 1900s. So back in the 1900s, when we didn't have social media and those kind of things, it seemed like, things weren't as bad. But now people can hide behind platforms or just feel like they can say anything that they want to. And so I think it spills over into our families and our communities and even sometimes churches, not this church in Jesus' name, amen? And so Proverbs 14 and 12 says that there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to what, class? Death. And so that's exactly what the enemy wants to see. He wants to see things lead to death, whether it's in your own life, in your family's life, in your community, just in the people around you. He works overtime to cause division, all right? John 10 and 10 teaches us that it is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we see that that is the goal and the plan of the enemy. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and that you might have it to the full and even till it overflows. And so you have to know that the enemy works overtime to cause division in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our churches, so he can fulfill his plan. And so that is why the writer says we can't not be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. You got it? Like, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy has his same old bag of tricks that he always has, so we've got to make it up in our mind that as believers, that our hearts must be always in the right place. As our hearts, as believers, our hearts being in the right place, what place is that, Pastor? That's a place that honors God. And that's what I really just want to make sure that we get and we understand, that if our hearts are pure, if our hearts honor God and we don't have, a lot of stuff in our hearts. Like, I just, I don't know if it's the older I get or what it is. I just, I've never been like one to like fussing and arguing and fighting. I never like that. You already know, y'all have known, for years that I'm allergic to drama. I actually have a note from my doctor. I'm allergic to drama. So, I don't do that. Paul talks about living quiet and peaceable lives, and I believe that that is possible for those that release faith. You got it? That even in a crazy world, that you can live a quiet and peaceable life, all right? We can either be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution, right? We can argue that there needs to be change in the world, or we could be the change that we want to see in the world. This young teacher is ready for you this morning, whether you know it or not, right? John 13 and 34 says, a new command I give you, Jesus is talking, that you do what, class? Love one another, all right? Watch this. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So I submit to you that we love others, watch this, not so that we can be loved, but we love others because we're already loved. Does that make sense? And so Jesus is saying, listen, you got to love one another. You got it. Because I love you. He says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. You are the one. You are my followers if you have love for one another. And I think that it's so important that we understand that love for one another means exactly what it says: love for one another. It's not love for one another based on if we, you know, have all the same beliefs and all this and agree on everything. The Bible literally says we are just supposed to love one another. So people know I belong to Jesus based on my heart and my actions. Does that make sense? Because love is an action word, right? It's one thing to say it, you got it, but it's another thing for someone to experience the love that you have, right? Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and the 36th verse, it says, teachers, you know, Pharisees are always coming to Jesus and trying to, catch him slipping and those kind of things. And so they said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, realize there are 440 commandments known, right? And they're trying to say, you know, in front of everybody, which one is the greatest? And I love it because Jesus didn't say, give me a minute. He didn't say, I'll get back to you. You got it. You know, he didn't say it's based on any type of climate that's going on in the world. He says, love the Lord your God with all your and all your and all your. So first and foremost, he says, you got to love the Lord your God with absolutely everything that is on the inside of you. You understand? You need to eat, sleep, and breathe Jesus. Right? Yeah. And I'm not, you got it. When I was a little kid growing up, there was a guy in my father's church. His name was Elder Holly. And this dude loved Jesus. You got it? Like, he loved you. He was always excited about Jesus. He would just be so happy, right? And my father would give him opportunities every time, you know, every once in a while to get up and speak or, you know, do an announcement or just what. And he was just always happy. And I remember one time he's getting up and he had the mic, so I guess he figured he needed to yell. You know what I'm saying? He just yells in it, and we all start laughing. He said, I can't help it. I'm a junkie for Jesus. I said, well, you know, I guess if you're going to be a junkie for Jesus. I mean, so Jesus says that you have to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Watch this. All of your soul, you got it. My soul is my mind, my will, my imagination, my emotions, my intellect. So it encompasses everything about me. He says, all of your mind. He says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the thing I love about Jesus is he said, you asked me for one, but I better give you two. He says, and the second is like it. He says that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I love me. Do you love you? I hope you love you, and you should love you. And if you have a problem loving you, let me just help you and get you to understand why you should love you. You should not love you because, you know, you should not love you because you made some mistakes. You should not love you because you've been through some tough times. You should not love you because of the way people feel about you or the way they perceive you or the way they see you. You have to understand that God loved you so very much that he sent his only son, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin that you and I might be the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. So God sent his son Jesus to pay the ultimate price for you, and that's what makes you valuable. And God loves you, and just because God loves you, you should love yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I pray you love yourself, and if not, you need to start working on loving you. Because it's going to be hard to properly love others if I don't love myself. And so quit looking in the mirror, judging yourself based on, I love myself if I look this way. You got it? It doesn't matter. You got it? What size you are. You got it? Has nothing to do with what culture says. You got it? Has everything to do. You are not who you are because of a house you live in, car you drive, or clothes you wear. And we like that stuff, and I get it. But it's not what makes us who we are. The Bible says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. So really, from a theological standpoint of view, you are who you are because of the relationship you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you. That's what makes you valuable. That's what makes you who you are. Does that make sense? And so the writer says, love your neighbor as yourself and Jesus fully. And the reason he said that is because he fully expected you to love yourself. Does that make sense? So Jesus says everything hinges on these two commandments. He said, dude, love the Lord your God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you do this, you're going to be in good shape, right? And so you know me, I'd love to do word searches. And, you know, I don't know a whole bunch of Hebrew and Greek, but I like to learn some words and, you know, those kind of things. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to do a word search on neighbor. Like, right, like who is he really talking about? And when I did the word search, it said any person, irrespective of nation or religion, with whom we live or who we chance to meet. That means la-di-da-di everybody. Right? So the Bible says that we love everybody. Just because I love you doesn't mean I have to agree with you. Doesn't mean that we even have to have the same political view or anything like that. But I love you. Watch this. And I have to love you. And I'm really required to love you. I can't be a Christian without loving you because God so loved the world. And so if he loves the world, who am I not to love the world? Does that make sense? You got it. I love the way I was raised, and I just appreciate how I came up in church. And I came up in a more old school church and those kind of things. And I love those things. And I learned a lot what to do. But there are a few things that I did learn not what not to do. You got it. And not every church I went to, but it seems like years ago. And I'm not sure we've even gotten away from this. But there was a culture of just being so critical about anything and about everything. And we have to learn not to be so critical and just love one another. You know, I work overtime. Like, you can ask a lady. I don't want to have an opinion about anybody except what the Word of God says. You got it? Because you don't know what people are going through. Just love them. But they came to the job acting crazy on a Monday morning. You don't know what happened on Sunday. You don't know the craziness that's going on in their life. You got it? You have, why? Because there's times that you went through some stuff and you didn't tell nobody. Come on, somebody. And rightly so, that's your business, right? And when you were in a tough spot, there's some people that were nice to you just because. So we got to learn how to be nice to people just because. Isn't that good? The bottom line is that the forgiven forgive. I know that's tough, but that's the bottom line. The forgive and forgive. I submit to you that we don't forgive others so we can be forgiven. I submit to you that we forgive others because we have already been forgiven. You got it? And when we start talking about this whole forgiveness thing, it can ruffle feathers. And I'm going to tell you why it ruffles feathers, because a lot of us can be emotional, and rightfully so, because we went through things where people have done stuff to us and it was wrong and it hurt us and they abused you and they offended you and it's not right. You got it. But you have to understand what forgiveness is, right? I heard somebody say that unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person's going to die, right? So walking in unforgiveness is not going to do much for us. And Pastor, what is the issue with forgiveness? What, help me. What's my issue with forgiveness? I was hoping you would ask me that. You got it. And so it's not just your issue. It's all of our issues with forgiveness. Everybody say number one, we have a wrong understanding of forgiveness. The problem is, the issue is, that we have a wrong understanding of forgiveness. Because let me just tell you what forgiveness is not. You got it? Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. You got it? So yes, what they did was wrong. I'm not saying it wasn't wrong, it was wrong. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. It did hurt. You got it. I'm not saying they didn't offend you. They probably did offend you. I'm not saying they didn't even lie on you. You got it. They are lying. The truth ain't them. You understand what I'm saying? Like all those things are true. You got it. You know, and so it's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. And as we begin to learn to understand what forgiveness is and what it is not, I believe it helps us to be able to forgive easier. Right? So it's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Let me tell you what else it's not. You got it. It's not reconciliation. Because people will tell you, oh, they ain't, you know, they must not have been forgiven. Why? Because, you know, they ain't hanging out no more. Well, forgiveness is not actually reconciliation. Right? I do believe that when we can reconcile, that we should reconcile, but I do know that there are also things called toxic relationships. And sometimes when people are toxic, you got it, and relationships are toxic, you have to learn how to love people from a distance. You got it? You have to, what I say, love them and leave them alone. You got it? And that's not being mean, but you still have to protect you and your heart and your mental health. Come on, somebody, and make sure that you're okay, because you got to make sure you're loving yourself. Isn't that right? So it's not reconciliation. Now, don't get all on me. You know, he's a God of reconciliation. I know. And now reconciliation is important, but you have to understand reconciliation is a two-player game. So in order to reconcile, I need your cooperation. You got it. You know, if I am willing to forgive you, come on, somebody, you got it, but you still acting like a knucklehead, I can forgive you, but we can't go no further. Praise ye the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, he's teaching this morning. Yeah, he's teaching. He came ready. He's making up for last week. Yes, he is. So reconciliation is a two-player game. Watch this. But forgiveness in having a right heart is a one-player game. It's not my attitude towards you. It's my attitude towards God about you. And that is what forgiveness really is. Does that make sense? So it's not, am I helping anybody in the room on today? It's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not reconciliation. It's not even forgetting what happened. Let me just tell you, real forgiveness is remembering what happened and still having the peace of God on the inside of your heart. That's what real forgiveness is. And I'm just going to tell you, in certain situations, it takes a minute to get there. You got it? I'm just telling you, you can tell. How do you know? Because there's been some times in my life that I've been really, really hurt by people I were really, really good to and didn't do anything wrong to anything. Pastor, everybody should take some kind of blame. If I did something wrong, I'd have taken some blame, but I didn't do anything. You got it? And what happened was, watch this, I knew I had to forgive them, and I was saying I was forgiving them, but when I would think about it, it would make me upset. Because it ain't right. You got it? And so people said, I know what you need. You needed time. And time helps, but Holy Spirit heals. And I think that you need both of them working together. Yes, I need some time, because some time to get a little distance between what happened, you got it, that helps, right? But I do believe that as long as I'm keeping my heart pure, you got it, that the Holy Spirit heals. And so now I'm to the point where I can think about those situations and watch this. I have the peace of God on the inside of me. And now I know I'm in a true place of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the issue with forgiveness, we said, number one is that we have the wrong understanding of forgiveness. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, the biggest next reason is we don't think it's fair. It ain't fair, Pastor. No, what they did, I don't care what you say, you're a man of God, I love you, but what they did, it ain't fair. I'm just telling you, it ain't fair. No, I'm just telling you. And if you're not careful, you start getting worked up right now. And I get it. It's not fair. You got it. You're right. It's not fair if someone hurts you. It's not fair if someone lies on you. It's not fair if someone abuses you. It's not fair if someone offends you. Those things are not fair, but I promise you, you don't want fair. Thank goodness God is not fair. If God was fair, you'd have to pay for your own sins. I don't want fair, I want forgiveness. If I take fair, I gotta stand before God and give an account for every single thing that I've done. But the blood of Jesus stepped into my life and forgave me, so I'll take forgiveness over fair any day of the week. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for Jesus paying the sin penalty for you and for I, giving us direct access to the Father. You got it? You know, that you know, you don't have to, like, I always pray for you, you know that, but you don't even have to come to me. Or let's say you forget to come to me, you're in the car, man, I meant to tell Pastor to pray for me, or Pastor Pat, or one of the leaders. If you forget, it's okay. You can just start talking to God right then. Now, if you're driving, don't bow your head. He's okay with your eyes open, right? Yeah. And so you have to understand everything that God did for us. You got it. And so I don't want fair. I want forgiveness. Does that make sense? Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? So evidently, Peter has something going on with somebody. Right. And he says, like, Lord, should I forgive him seven times? Jesus answered and said, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Now, some theologians say that the, you know, KJV, when he wrote it, said it should have been 70 times seven. 77 or 70 times seven is a whole lot of times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. Watch this, class. And he began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talents. How much? Guess how much that is in today's time? $5 billion. You can't pay back $5 billion. And the Bible said it was brought to him, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees. He said, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took what? Pity on him and did what? Canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he just left getting his debts canceled, found one of his fellow servants who owed him what, class? 100 denarii. You know what that is in today's time? $10,000. That may take you a while, but you can pay back 10,000, right? He grabbed him and choked him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees, begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Watch this. Then the master called the servant, watch this, who was forgiven but didn't forgive. And what did the master call him? Wicked. He said, "You wicked servant. I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed back. This is how, watch this, this is strong. This is how my heavenly, this is Jesus talking, my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brothers or your sisters from your heart. That's something. C.S. Lewis says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. So now I think we're starting to understand forgiveness at another level. So the issue, number one, we said is we have the wrong understanding. Then we said, number two, the second issue is that we don't think it's fair. Now we learn we don't want fair. And then the number three, the third issue is we don't think we can do it. We don't think we can do it. And a lot of times when it's fresh, especially, and when you're emotional, I get it. You really don't think you can. Philippians 4 and 13 tells us differently, because the writer says that we can do all things through him, through Christ, that gives us strength. So I submit to you that it is Christ that gives you strength to do everything you need to do, include forgive. Does that make sense? As you open your life to the power of God to do the work on the inside of you, you will have capacity to do what you thought you couldn't do. I'm going to give that to you again. As you open your life to the power of God to do the work on the inside of you, you will have capacity to do what you thought you couldn't do. All right. Okay, now I'm about to wrap this thing up, but I do want to give you these last quick 3 points, all right? I want to give you these last quick three points, because you say, "Pastor, there's some folks that really like just don't like me." You got to, like, I like them, but they don't like me. You got, like, they really, the Bible talks about enemies. They really are my enemies. How should I respond to them? Should I cut them? No, don't cut them. You got it. Should I go to the glove box? Don't go to the glove box. All right. No. Now, sometimes, you got it, when someone does something to you and isn't right, the enemy puts all kind of things in your head to do. But here's my thing. I made it up in my mind that you might be my enemy, but I'm not going to be your enemy. It's kind of funny because it's been a natural progression for me, because number one, I grew up as a boy, so I was just rough. You understand what I'm saying? Me and my brother Joe, you know, we back in the day, it was WWF, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and Macho Man Randy Savage. You understand what I'm saying? Oh yeah. You know, like You know, we flying off of couches. So when you kind of go to school and somebody wants to do something to you, you put a Jimmy Superfly snuck on them. You understand? Like, that's what you do, right? Right? You know, and then of course make it, you know, even worse. I say worse, but you know, I go into the Marine Corps, now I'm born to fight, train to kill, ready to die, but never will. Come my way and you're gonna find out. Like, and so now but I have to reconcile all that with love your neighbor as yourself. You got it? And so, you know, because there's times, even in my earlier years of pastoring, praise the Lord, you know, like, people would want to do me wrong. I didn't want to fight nobody, praise the Lord. I don't think so. But I just, you know, I just want to go off on them. Just let them know, you know. But I was like, I can't do that. You got it? And so anytime I teach you something, a lot of times it's something that I've already had to learn for myself. Does that make sense? So let's take it home, Maestro. How should I respond to my enemies? Real quick, I'm going to give you these three points. It's real early. Going to get you out on time. We're going to pray, and then we're going to go home. How should I respond to my enemies? Everybody say number one. Number one, pray for them. Pray for them. Matthew 5:43. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So number one, we pray for them. Everybody say number two. Number two, you bless them. Do what? I ain't blessed. The devil is a lie. No, that's what the Bible says. But I tell you, Luke 6:27, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. He says, bless and do not curse. And then everybody said number three, last one. He said, the writer tells us to do good to them. Romans 12:17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. So Eric and Melvin, don't try to get her back for the birthday, for the cakes, all right? Bang, bang, Niner gang, all right? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on who? You. So he says only you control what you can control, and you can control you even though you can't control somebody else. He says live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. God said, you love, you let me handle everything else. He says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, what happens is when people do you wrong and everybody doesn't know that it was really them, we're prone, you got it, to want, I'm prone to want you to know it wasn't me, it was them. Come on, somebody. You got it, like that, you know, because, you know, but the Lord says, don't do that. You got it. Don't wish bad on somebody. Just love them, do good to them, pray for them, bless them, and let God deal with them. You got it. And if something happens to them, you got it, and you don't pray for that, but it ain't got nothing to do with you, that's between them and God. You keep your heart right. You keep your heart pure. And watch God do amazing things in your life. That's all I have for you today. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, praise.